Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Bruce Jean back on the show. Bruce is a fishing guide in Minnesota. Now, he's got a pretty big footprint, as we learned in the last episode, last time we had him on. He and the team of guides that he works with, they also tournament fish, which is a really cool thing, I think, to be on the cutting edge and stay well-rounded as anglers. But from a guiding perspective, we spend most of our time talking about, you know, the guiding side of things with Bruce in this interview. And I find it fun and interesting talking to Bruce. You know, he's got a big footprint in terms of where he guides. He lives down in the Twin Cities of Minnesota. So this time of year, we can talk metro crappie fishing. That's kind of where we start out. You know, then he also has a guide business up on Rainy Lake. We talked about that last time, Rainy Lake Guiding. You can find that online, rainylakeguiding.com. But what we didn't talk a whole lot about last time was that he and his team of guides spend time on Mille Lacs. He's got guides that are on Mille Lacs year-round. Mille Lacs Lake Guiding. You can find those links in the description of this podcast if you want to learn more. But Bruce is just a real high energy guy. He's a great educator. And we hear all about his boat setup and just how he operates in the boat with clients in different situations. I think there's a lot to learn from it. And then we definitely get more detailed into Mille Lacs fishing as it would be early spring, you know, after the opener that we've got coming up. So very timely. And very fun. A lot of information here. Bruce is just a great guy. So excited to have him on again and hope to many more. But let's get to it here. We got Mille Lacs Lake Guiding. Bruce Jean, let's get to it.
TKI CNC produces reliable, meticulously crafted marine components for every fishing adventure. If you're going to be doing any boat rigging whatsoever this season, check out a complete listing of products at tkicnc.com. There you'll find lots of things, including the multi-purpose rod holders and their forward sonar pole mounting kits. These product designs specifically maximize your efficiency and reliability in the boat. This is why so many hardcore anglers, including tournament anglers, are turning to TKI to accessorize their boats. For a detailed look or in-depth tutorials, check them out on YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram at TKICNC.
New fishing regulations on Mille Lacs Lake in Minnesota have walleye anglers excited to plan your next fishing vacation over there. Check out the lodging options over at Chalet on Mille Lacs. They have all you need and more. I'm talking about multiple private shorelines, including a back channel where you can safely park your boat overnight, a great feature you're not going to find everywhere on the lake. There's also a game room, high-speed Wi-Fi, you're minutes away from the casino and golf course. The indoor and outdoor amenities of the Chalet on Mille Lacs epitomize comfort and convenience with 5 bedrooms, 3 baths, that's 2 masters, a large kitchen, all the indoor amenities that are perfect for large groups or multiple families. This cabin comfortably sleeps 8. You can add more if you like. Read the reviews online from past guests on the website or book directly at chaletonmilax.com. That's chaletonmilax.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. We're all looking to have the ultimate edge on the water, but how do we get there? When it comes to fishing rods, JT Outdoor Products has you covered. Their technique-specific rods are engineered and tested by tournament professionals to give you the competitive advantage on the tournament trail or the extra edge to the passionate everyday angler. They're hand-built in Farmington, Minnesota. With the highest grade carbon fiber blanks and the finest componentry, JT rods are ultra lightweight, incredibly sensitive, and built for performance. Whether you're after walleye, bass, pike, or panfish, they have every species covered. Their rods deliver precision, durability, and unmatched feel. Don't settle for ordinary. Fish smarter with JT Outdoor Products, where performance meets perfection. Visit them at jtodp.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Do yourself a favor. Check them out today. The Onyx Fish App is the roadmap to your next great fishing adventure. The Onyx Fish App brings together all the great research tools that we talk about all the time on the JMO podcast with all the top pros. I'm talking about satellite imagery, lake surveys, fisheries data, contour maps, the list goes on. They're all in one place now. Anglers in the Midwest have never had a more valuable research tool at their disposal. Head over to the website to subscribe today. Use promo code JMO for a discount at checkout. And I'll say it again, your next great fishing adventure that you don't even know exists can be found on the Onyx Fish app. In a quick chat, before pressing record, you were getting me a little bit updated on some things you got going on, and now my gears are completely turning, and I want to talk about that. So, I guess, you know, to go back 3 minutes in our lives and talk about, you were kind of updating me on some things you had going on, and you were rigging a new boat, and you started talking about, you know, crappie fishing down in the metro and, you know, rigging your guide boat with multiple forward sonar setups. And let's start with, you know, you're getting a new boat this year and you're rigging it. Tell me about how you're rigging it and what your plans are, you know, starting off the year with your setup.
Yeah. So I think the most important part is to start out with knowledge of what you're going to be targeting. And I, you know, I rig my own boats, and the key to that is to be able to troubleshoot, you know, if you have a power source issue, wiring stuff. But you know, I start my guide season crappie fishing around the metro, and the local lakes around Albertville are absolutely incredible for panfish. And the neat part about that is I have three different live scopes on my boat, and they're all rigged a little bit different for the different lakes that I fish throughout the year. Early pan fishing around the metro Wright County area, I am using forward-facing sonar. I'm using the distance shooting, if you will, and we're crappie targeting, if you will. And so to have that live scope for that, it works great to stay away from the fish that are in the clearer water, target 30, 40, 50 feet away, and that's where your slip bobber corking to these crappies, and the bite is a lot of fun, but I think it's determined that when you stay away from fish and you can see where they're at, making an accurate cast, and then you can see your bait drop down right over these pods of fish and tailor. That's what it's about. You know, being able to see how fish react to the crappie bite with that. You know, you throw a minnow in front of it. Well, it doesn't want it. Maybe you throw a plastic in front of it. See how the fish react. And that's the key thing to live scope, is being focused on the target so you can see it react, and hopefully there's a bite with it. So that's the crappie component to it.
I'm curious, like, how does that go in the boat, the conversation with your clients? I imagine you have a lot of return clients, so communication is probably not difficult, but even if you have, you know, first-time clients or new clients, I'm curious, you know, for you, what are some of the best ways or best ways to sort of explain, you know, utilizing forward sonar the way you have it set up to your clients so that they can learn it quick and start, you know, start being proficient on that level? Like I'm just sort of curious how those teaching moments go right away, first thing in the boat, when you pull up on some fish and you're showing them the screen, and some of these people are probably seeing it for the first time in person. You know, I'm just sort of curious, how does that go? What is the conversation like? And is it ultimately hard to teach people how to use it to catch crappies like that?
You know, and everybody's at different levels of their fishing, and everyone's at different levels of what they want to learn. Some people just want the rod bent and they don't care about seeing fish or the reaction and so on. So I think, first of all, it's determining where they're at with that. If I'm with somebody that's never seen live scope before, but is interested in purchasing it or is, you know, wanting to up their fishing game, that's when I'll teach them the initial component to live scope. And I'll go into a calm bay, for example. I'll put a slip bobber on, maybe 7-8 feet down will be the jig, and I'll pitch it out and I'll have them find their jig. And I let them drive. Like they get to drive the Bruce City pole, and they get to, you know, manipulate which way they're facing. And so they get to see their bait drop down. And then once they've done that, then we'll go look for some fish. And then we'll say, okay, now there's a pod of fish 45 feet away. And then, but, you know, judging distance is important, and, you know, knowing how far. And I'll say, well, the boat is 22 feet long, so it'll be two boat lengths. And they'll think 45 feet is 75, 80 feet away. So it's that proper cast. And once they land it, I have them cast, generally try to get right on the fish, if not, land it a little bit further away from them, and then drag the bait closer to the boat, and then so it drops on top of them. And so it's a small approach to, you know, baby steps on seeing where your bait is, seeing where the fish are, and then you can dig into it a little bit deeper by focusing on the reaction of fish. You know, if when the bobber lands right on top of the fish, does it scatter? Does it move? What happens? You know, and so if they don't like the minnow, do they go with the plastic? If they, you know, so it's about the reaction. And then I have some people that'll just want the rod to pull, and I'll just say cast in that area right there. And, you know, that's where the fish are, and they enjoy that too. So it's kind of feeling out the customers where they're at as far as their knowledge and what they want to learn. And that's, you know, I think the important part is not over challenging them to live scope, but not making it a burden either. Like, that's where they're at. You can cast there and the crappies will bite. So I know that's the difference to start with early for crappies. So,
I mean, there's gotta be an entertainment value to it. I mean, have you seen that? Well, you know, in your guide career, probably, you know, go back enough years before, you know, before Forward Sonar, or at least before you were utilizing it like this, you know, with clients in the boat. Do you feel like your clients feel like they would like prefer it? They like it? I mean, they're involved in the conversation. I'm just sort of envisioning that experience where, you know, they're telling you what they're seeing, and it's kind of fun probably. And it's not just, you, you know, having to figure out these things on your own. So, and then telling your clients, all right, we'll try this new cadence or do that. Or, you know, sometimes the fish will do this. They're probably involved in that conversation now. And it just sort of, you know, it creates a whole entire, you know, collaborative experience.
I'll have parents, Taylor, that'll call me or talk to me after the trip and say, my son, my 14-year-old son hasn't put his phone down for more than 10 minutes in the last 5 years. And for the last 8 hours straight, he was watching live scope. He was focused on the fish. He was doing the things that we needed to do to catch fish. And he loved it. And so there's that balance of the entertainment factor, the desire to catch more fish, and the education component. You know, I'm learning right with them. I mean, every time, you know, I put a different live scope system on, or, you know, they upgrade the live scope technology, I get to see bigger fish, or I can tell where the bigger fish are lurking. And it's all about education, not only for me, but what I could portray to the kids, to the adults, just to help people have more fun on the water. And, you know, it's not always about catching 100 crappies. You know, it's about, you know, are you catching one or two of the bigger crappies that might be isolated from the bigger school of smaller crappies? And you and I talked a little bit about that. I would rather target one big fish and catch that one and say, I got it, right? Yeah. Rather than to just throw my line in the middle of 30 little crappies and, you know, there it is. I was filming a show with Kurt Wahlbeck last summer on Mille Lacs, and there were three walleyes that were 55 feet away, and it was a jig and a shiner pitch cast to them. And it was two lucky casts in a row, fish after fish. The third one, as the line is dropping down, and we're watching all this on tape, it's going to be a great show at Outdoor Bound TV, it fell down and it popped right on the fish's head and it scattered. And it was so cool to watch the reaction of those fish happen. And that's the part that you're always intrigued about, is what happens to the fish and the reaction from it. And you can watch that on LiveScope. That's entertainment, and that's fun for a lot of our customers. Now, for those of the customers that are like, I don't know if I want to work that hard, that's when I recommend, you know what, come up to Mille Lacs in the spring for the slip bobber bite, and it's incredible. Or more yet, come up and fish the 35-foot deep, dark stained water on Rainy Lake, June, July, August, September, and you can fish straight down above those. And that's when we'll talk a little bit later about the live scope system I have from there. So it's a technique variation that is fun, that I get to change it throughout the year.
Yeah. And I want to go down that road right now of, like, that was the other thing that was intriguing, getting my gears turning before, you know, before we recorded here, was that, you know, you got three, when you're crappie fishing in the metro early this time of year, you know, with clients in the boat, you got three Forward Sonar units working potentially at all times. But you'll switch that up when you switch lakes, switch species, and switch situations. You know, I feel like that's unique, that you've kind of figured out
cool, fun ways, you know, to make it, you know, balance where it's fun and entertaining and it adds to the, you know, the experience to your clients, but yet it doesn't slow you down. You don't let it be a burden. Talk me through that, because I think this is educational, and I think it's just important to hear that people are for people that either are figuring out how, you know, whether or not it's something they should get or use in the boat, or maybe they got it and they feel like maybe they can't emulate what the tournament guys are doing. Take me through the season and sort of the different scenarios with your clients where you'll maybe change up that approach or change up how you utilize forward sonar in your boat.
Yep. And you know, so after the crappie season is over, then we'll move to Mille Lacs for a month. And, you know, of course we guide on Mille Lacs all year for some outstanding smallmouth fishing. But going back to walleye, you know, we'll use the forward facing sonar. And the unique part about my boat is, and there's not many people that do this, but I have a live scope solid mounted on the back of my boat on a trolling motor or a transducer bracket facing forward. So my transducer is shining kind of like inside of those ice castle fish houses, Taylor, where you got the big screen TV and you can see every line in the fish house. And well, that's what I have in my boat. And so I have that transducer in the very back and it's forward facing and it's shooting down so I can see everybody's line in the boat. So George in the front of the boat, if I'm on Rainy Lake in the middle of August and he's 10 feet off the bottom and all the fish are hunkered down deep, I say, hey, George, let a little more line out, you know, and I can do it in a nice way. That's like, oh yeah, then I can, but I can tell where they're at, who's fishing, who's about to get a bite. And the neat part about that, and I think the cool part is that everybody in the boat can see that screen. You know, I have the 16 inch at the helm, and then I have two 12s that are wired and they're all linked together. So the guy in the front of the boat can also see the fish that are in the back or in the middle or in the front and then all the way forward. So I can see fish 40, 50 feet in front of the boat. And if we're trolling that way or if we're spot locked or we're jogging, it gives the customers a little sense of, okay, there are still fish down here, or, you know, maybe we're moving where they are, but, you know, they can really see the reaction to what they're doing now. And if they don't want to fish, you know, looking at their bait and watching and just fish old school, we absolutely have that available too. You know, the nice part about LiveScope is you don't have to use it if it's not what you're looking for right now. If those of you that ever fish a LiveScope and then you go in a boat that doesn't have it, you don't know what to do with yourself, right? So it's a different world, but it really does change, you know, the world of guiding for me. I can see, you know, I'm getting more bites 100%. And people have asked me, you know, this is my 32nd year of guiding, what are some of the biggest inventions that changed guiding? And first of all, the Garmin 12 was a handheld GPS created in 1995 where I could find some of the reefs in the middle of nowhere on Rainy Lake. That was a big deal. I think the second most important was spot lock and to be able to jog and stay over, hovered over fish in the darker stained waters, like of Rainy and Lake of the Woods. That was huge. This invention of forward facing sonar is a complete game changer, and how people use it to fit their needs is what I feel like I've really changed in my system. And to have, you know, the forward facing in the front, you know, we can tournament fish. We, you know, I do that a few times and target, definitely that's one method, but have that solid mount in the back. I have live scope all the time. It's always on and I can always see what's happening down there without having to mess with that arm or put the trolling motor down or, you know, so it's a neat system and the customers have really found it, you know, liking to when they want to use it. So it's been a nice addition.
I'm just making you talk about this like it's the only thing that you ever have turned on. I imagine that's not true.
Right.
Maybe to create some balance in the conversation, walk me through that a little bit, sort of like the fish finding sort of process for you. Now, you're a guide. You're out there every day. I imagine you start where you left off yesterday. But like, you know, are you utilizing it also in that fish finding process?
Great question, because the side scan is, I think, an underutilized and under-discussed portion of our sonar technology. And when I'm initially getting to a spot, most of the time I'm watching my side scan. And, you know, because you have a good, idea on both sides of what's happening. And the side scan component gives you that, boy, there's a nice pod of fish 40 feet to the starboard side of the boat. And so then you head over there and it gives you that idea. And then what I will do is I'll mark those fish on the touchscreen. I'll be like, I'll just touch it and I'll hit mark. And now I know where there was five or six pods of fish. Yet I'll keep trolling. I'll just idle around. And as I'm cruising around, I'll mark different pods of fish. And generally they stay put unless something has scared them away. So when I get my trolling motor in and I start to fish, then I can target those areas just with the specific details of the GPS. So when you say, is it just live scope only? Absolutely not. I use sonar and downscan a lot, especially on Rainy Lake when it's darker stained. I can pinpoint where the fish are and I can see what they're doing. You know, having that mark down there, I can see customers' line where they're at. There's always, like, the nice thing about having a 16-inch graph is I can have all five of my major Windows icons up at once. And so having that versatility is crucial, especially when you want to, you know, teach customers how to use certain portions of that. So, and if I'm teaching side scan, I'll just pull the whole side scan up and I'll pan out 80, 90 feet both ways. And I'll say, okay, now we're looking long distance. Teach them what a fish looks like, tap on three or four, you know, a group of fish. And then that icon goes back on the map. And I said, and we're going to go fish there in a little bit. And they're like, that's so cool. You know, so it's cool to see the light bulbs turn on in customers as they're learning the technology that, you know, we use every day.
We're all looking to have the ultimate edge on the water, but how do we get there? When it comes to fishing rods, JT Outdoor Products has you covered. Their technique-specific rods are engineered and tested by tournament professionals to give you the competitive advantage on the tournament trail or the extra edge to the passionate everyday angler. They're hand-built in Farmington, Minnesota. With the highest grade carbon fiber blanks and the finest componentry, JT rods are ultra lightweight, incredibly sensitive, and built for performance. Whether you're after walleye, bass, pike, or panfish, they have every species covered. Their rods deliver precision, durability, and unmatched feel. Don't settle for ordinary. Fish smarter with JT Outdoor Products, where performance meets perfection. Visit them at jtodp.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Do yourself a favor, check them out today. TKI CNC produces reliable, meticulously crafted marine components for every fishing adventure. If you're going to be doing any boat rigging whatsoever this season, check out a complete listing of products at tkicnc.com. There you'll find lots of things, including the multi-purpose rod holders and their forward sonar pole mounting kits. These product designs specifically maximize your efficiency and reliability in the boat. This is why so many hardcore anglers, including tournament anglers, are turning to TKI to accessorize their boats. For a detailed look or in-depth tutorials, check them out on YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram at TKICNC. New fishing regulations on Mille Lacs Lake in Minnesota have walleye anglers excited. To plan your next fishing vacation over there, check out the lodging options over at Chalet on Mille Lacs. They have all you need and more. I'm talking about multiple private shorelines, including a back channel where you can safely park your boat overnight, a great feature you're not going to find everywhere on the lake. There's also a game room, high-speed Wi-Fi, you're minutes away from the casino and golf course. The indoor and outdoor amenities of the Chalet on Mille Lacs epitomize comfort and convenience with 5 bedrooms, 3 baths, that's 2 masters, a large kitchen, all the indoor amenities that are perfect for large groups or multiple families. This cabin comfortably sleeps 8. You can add more if you like. Read the reviews online from past guests on the website or book directly at chaletonmilax.com. That's chaletonmilax.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. The Onyx Fish App is the roadmap to your next great fishing adventure. The Onyx Fish App brings together all the great research tools that we talk about all the time on the JMO podcast with all the top pros. I'm talking about satellite imagery, lake surveys, fisheries data,
contour maps, the list goes on. They're all in one place now. Anglers in the Midwest have never had a more valuable research tool at their disposal. Head over to the website to subscribe today. Use promo code JMO for a discount at checkout. And I'll say it again, your next great fishing adventure that you don't even know exists can be found on the Onyx Fish app. What would be, you know, some of those guiding situations that you've been in where you're not maybe, you know, completely stuck to it?
Well, absolutely. And it's interesting you say that because, you know, I think we talked last time, does live scope scare fish away? Do they feel it? Do they sense it? You know, and the power of that transducer is definitely a thing. If you've ever been swimming underneath a boat that is using that high-powered stuff, you can hear it. You can feel it. And it's a real thing. We were ice fishing around the Bowstring area this winter, and we actually were shooting a pod of fish about 30 feet away, 40 feet away. And after about 15 to 20 seconds, we could make those fish move. Legitimately, they would feel the power of that and they would move. Now, what we did, and they weren't just moving, and we did this, we tested it, because there was half that were debunking the fact that they can't feel it, it doesn't move fish. So we found the fish and we turned the side or the forward facing away from it. We waited about 30 seconds, we turned it back and they were still there. We did it, we turned it back, and we were you know, using these tests. And we found that those fish didn't move if they were only on there for 2 seconds. But if we scanned it back and we stayed on them and just pounded them with that power, we could actually get them to move. So when we're fishing and generally, you know, clearer water and you know, maybe a little bit shallower, we'd find the fish, drill the holes, and then come back to that hole a little bit later, and then we'd use our Vexlars. And we'd find fish and stay over them that way, shutting the sonar or the live scope off. So that's an example of when we haven't used them. You know, of course, trolling, you know, when you're doing that quick troll on Mille Lacs using the number 10 Husky Jerks, you don't really need live scope there, right? So, you know, there's that balance of, you know, when are you using it and so on. Of course, we're always watching side scan when we're trolling. So there's that. But I think that would be the time where live scope was counterproductive, if you will.
And Mille Lacs, you know, we're kind of already talking about it. We're referencing referencing this. You know, maybe we can kind of continue along these lines, but get into the fishing a little bit deeper and kind of some of the specific patterns, because it is that time of year here where, like I said, I guess I don't always have the best memory, but I know we're a couple weeks away from the Minnesota opener. Wisconsin will be opening up their walleye fishing on inland lakes. I mean, it's that time of year to talk about the spring patterns. Talk to me a little bit about Mille Lacs. What do I need to know about Mille Lacs?
You know, the key I think that people need to know about Mille Lacs is that it's an absolute incredible fishery right now. The walleye population is exploding, and the reason is there's so much bait fish in that lake. You know, and the DNR has managed it in a unique way, as many people would say, good or bad. You know, there's philosophies on both sides of it, but the nets are showing it's a very strong population of fish. There's a ton of bait fish in there. There's a huge explosion of perch, and you probably heard about that, but there's perch ranging from small perfect bait size fish for those big walleyes to nice 12, 13, 14 inchers that I'm excited for my customers to have. They're two walleyes that they can keep, which is a nice thing. But then they can throw five nice perch on top of it per person. Boy, that's a pretty nice meal for table fare, that, you know. So, but the amount of spot tail shiners, the amount of tulipy, there's just a strong population of bait fish in turn, which is going to put a lot of walleyes on your line. You know, this winter, you probably heard the winter walleye bite was definitely slower. The last few years, we've had a slow winter bite. It's been just an outstanding spring bite. And some of the numbers of our guide trips We've just had huge, huge amounts of numbers, and you know, anywhere from 14-inch walleyes up to 28-inch walleyes, and it's a nice bag of mixed fish. So, really looking forward to a great spring there, because there's so many good things that are happening. You know, having to be able to keep two fish, you know, it shows from the DNR that their counts are showing that it's a strong lake. Presentations, you know, the slip bobber is always a great way to catch fish. Slip bobber leech, slip bobber crawler, fine fish, stay 40, 50 feet away from them and cast and pitch to them that way. You know, jigging a shiner, jigging a fathead, those are always good techniques to use as well. Later in the year, long line and Lindy rigs get a little more speed to them. You know, there's always fish to be caught. My buddy Will uses a number 10 pink UV with the Husky jerk. Outstanding results with that. So there's so many different ways that you could fish on Mille Lacs. Probably my favorite to start with is to have that quarter ounce jig. If you can get shiners, I'm not sure what that's going to be like this year, but fatheads, chubs, shiners, whatever you could throw, rainbows, pitching at those fish, keep your rod tip high as you're pitching and just walk that bait back slowly. The colder the water, the slower the presentation. As it starts to warm up throughout the day, you might be able to pop jig it a little bit, whip jig it, and you're going to find success that way. So, but that's just some of the techniques that we use early. I love the mixing of cadence of all those things. You know, if you throw in a slip bobber out, you know, in that you use thin leader line, 1/8 ounce jig, 1/16 ounce, let that leech swim on your jig, let that crawler show movement if there is. And I'm a big believer, if you're going to use a half of a night crawler, use the nature end to the fish. You know, you pinch a crawler in half, put the cut part on the hook and let the nature part, whether it's the head or the tail, go to the fish. That's just my little tip right there. So, but you know, gentle casts, if you're using, you know, live bait, use a gentle cast. And, you know, some people will whip their minnow and their quarter ounce jig. And what that does is it stretches, you know, puts a little bit bigger hole in your minnow or your leech. And that causes it to not to swim right. So a nice gentle cast, get it out where it needs to, slow presentation. I think you're going to have a lot of success, especially early. So slip bobber fishing is probably a technique that I would recommend everybody have a slip bobber going to Mille Lacs. You know, they make those bobbers with those brass eye tips. Those are crucial to get that line down there. And don't oversize your slip bobbers. You know, if you have a bobber, make sure it's a neutral buoyancy. So it just takes a little bit of tug for it to go down. Or even if it's, you know, it's one of those lay down, if it's standing up, there's a fish on, you know, however you want, whatever you like to use, but don't make a bobber too big. Some people throw those big old red bobbers on and it'd take a 30-pound walleye to pull it down. So definitely, you know, use that for it, but don't overline your leaders. I was just talking to Walleye Will Pappenfuss the other day, and that was one thing that he stressed, was use lighter line. And I'm a 6-pound test guy, just about solely on my trilene. So it works great for that. And then, Taylor, if you want to talk about an outstanding fishery for smallmouth, Mille Lacs is just incredible. That midsummer big minnow bite is an absolute blast. You want to talk about what fun an 18 to 22 inch smallmouth is on light tackle on Mille Lacs. I mean, kids just giggle the whole time they're winding fish it, and adults too. So, yeah. But really excited for what Mille Lacs has to offer. So,
how do you find fish when you're talking like that early spring, you know, the first couple weeks after the opener on Mille Lacs? You know, it's a big body of water. And so
For me, I'm looking at it from afar. I've been there a few times, mostly, you know, work related, and, you know, we get there and, you know, we get some good information. We head to the fish, you know, usually right away. So I'm genuinely, you know, curious about breaking down Mille Lacs early in the year. What are some of the areas? What are some of the good structure? What are some of the good depth zones? Like, what can you tell me about areas, or how you find areas, how you break down areas, just to try to be in and around fish early in the year?
Yep, absolutely. So the north side of Mille Lacs is mostly where the sand is. And I would say 80% of the fishermen that fish opener on Mille Lacs will be up north. Hunters, Red Door, Garrison area, that whole northeast, northwest, north quadrant of the lake is generally where the majority of the fishermen are. Now, does that mean that's where the fish are? It's a pretty good idea, but, you know, it all depends on how quickly ice goes out. You know, looking at satellite images of Mille Lacs yesterday, and I would be guessing that in the next few days it's going to go out, giving Mille Lacs that time for the water to warm up. And as the fish, as the water warms, they're going to go out a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper as the day progresses. And then, of course, the more boats and the more scattered the fish get, where they reschool is going to be important. Where do you search? I just keep moving, you know. Generally, a bright day, I use bright colors. Dull day, cloudy day, I use duller colors, darker colors. But with that being said, I'll start out shallow and I'll just keep working my way deeper. Once you find fish and you see a pattern, and you know, if you're using live scope, see how they're reacting to different colors, different depths, different structures, and just learn from that. You know, so that's throughout the day. Now in the evening, when you're getting ready for the evening bite, that the slip bobber nighted light bite is absolutely incredible. Starting out deeper, and then as the night gets darker and as it's getting, the fish start working their way on top of the structure, whether you're on Garrison Reef, whether you're in the sand up to the north, but they'll work their way shallower and just keep moving with the fish. And again, it's if you can see the fish, follow the fish, you know, but don't just stay in one spot. Keep moving, you know, if you're in 12 feet of water and they're not there, go up to 10 feet or go out to 14 or, you know, so, but that's the thing is keep moving, be mobile, be versatile. And I think that's probably the best way to break down the water. It, you know, the ultimate best way, hire a fishing guide for 4 hours, you know, and go and learn sonar, learn techniques, learn forward facing. How do I rig my slip bobber? How do I rig my jig and a shiner? What am I doing for trolling? There's just certain ways to break down a lake, a body of water, and there's nothing wrong with, maybe a few hundred dollars to learn how to fish a spot isn't a bad way to, you know, so.
Oh, 100%.
Lately, I've been getting a lot of phone calls like, hey, can you just teach me how to use my sonar? We don't even have to be on the lake. And I'm absolutely. So, you know, I'll just meet them at a boat landing and we'll take the boat out and, you know, we'll just go through exactly what we've been talking about. And people really learn a lot in that short time, studying and breaking down and, you know, YouTube videos. You know, I before this interview, I called a few people. Hey, what are some things you want to listen to in a podcast? Or what are some tips? And some of their tips were watch YouTube videos, watch videos on social media. What are people doing to catch fish? And I think that's been the best way for that. So, but that's kind of how I'll break down water on Mille Lacs, especially. So
I can think about like summer when you start to put a pattern together and, you know, you work up on a windblown point and you find a transition or whatever, and there's a bunch of fish there and they're biting. And right away, my brain is thinking, all right, I want to replicate this exact pattern. So what other points are getting some wind? What other points do I think have the same habitat? And, you try to start replicating that pattern.
About a month ago, I guess I don't know the exact time, but you interviewed Tom Wynn and he talked about when you break down a lake, you look at saddles, you look at points, you look at structures. If there's an east wind, where would you go? And he said, if you have those spots picked out and they don't work, don't stay there. Keep moving, you know? And I, I like that technique that you think you have, or you've talked to people, or you've listened to, you know, podcasts or what have you, X, Y, and Z, and it might all be out the window with a different wind direction or a bright day or what have you. And so, you know, being mobile, just keep adjusting. And if you can see and watch fish react, I think that's the biggest part that we're forgetting with, or we're not utilizing forward-facing sonar the right way. How do fish react to your bait? And the reaction is either they bite it or they leave, right? Or they're kind of interested. It might be the wrong bait, or they might look at it, nudge it and leave, you know. So it's what are you doing to spark that interest of the fish? And so breaking down water and staying over fish. But you're right. If you caught fish in the boulders in 14 feet of water on the north side, go look for more boulders, you know, and those fish are going to return, or they're going to be in that same structure pattern. You know, that north side of Mille Lacs is 10 miles long or more. And it's got structure all the way across from east to west that are just loaded with fish, bait fish early. And where the bait fish are is where you'll find other fish. So that's something that we haven't really talked about either, is where are the schools of bait fish? And as the summer progresses, that's what I'm going to look for more, are those pods of bait fish. Where are those big schools of shiners, especially on Rainy, but also on Mille Lacs? Where are those pods of spot tails? And you know, finding those, you're going to have fish right below them. It's just about a guarantee. So, but keep, be mobile, be versatile, and you know, always try new things. I think that's the key to a successful fisher person.
I like that reference to Tom. Yeah, Tom, every time Tom talks, it's like, I got to write it down, because then I tend to forget, and then I make those mistakes, and then I'll send him a message and be like, oh man, you know, I screwed up. You know, you told me to get that stuff out of my head. I went out there, they weren't there. It killed my confidence. It ruined my whole day. You know, it's like, I got to remember those pep talks for sure. But like, when you're out on the water, every one of us gets faced with the decision of like, do I stay or do I go? And we're so, you know, this time of year talking, you know, walleyes on Mille Lacs or lots of, you know, bodies of water, you know, these fish are in the depth zones. The weeds haven't grown up so much that like being around fish isn't terribly difficult, as long as you're, you know, looking at your side scan, looking at your side imaging, you know, they're in the shallower sand, or they're, you know, like being in and around fish, but maybe they're not biting. You know, maybe you are throwing the kitchen sink at them. You know, you got three guys in the boat, everybody's doing something different. You know, we've burned through our confidence baits on what we know is a school yep. of fish that should be walleyes. And we've done, you know, we're 30 minutes in, you know, and that's when you start to spin out. Like, is it not the right bite window? Are we doing something wrong? Like, what are we doing? And then ultimately, do we stay or do we go? I'm curious, kind of some recommendations or advice, or just your own personal philosophy on that. If you sort of, you know, just look at what you've learned maybe on forward sonar, where you have been able to, you know, see the reactions of these fish, you can tell the mood of these fish. Do you feel like this time of year, it's worthwhile to just keep moving because the next pot of fish might be biting? Or when you do find some juice, there is a number of fish there, you're evaluating the size, it's everything that you want it to be, but they're just not going right now. Like, what can you recommend to me from a decision-making standpoint that I could, you know, just be a good takeaway to help me answer or just make those decisions confidently in the boat on the water?
Absolutely. Interesting, Taylor. I'm in a National Walleye Trail pool, right? So you get to pick the top four fishermen, and don't tell Tom, but I picked him next week, so he better provide. who can adapt and adjust to the new surroundings, the river, the lakes, you know, and it's about that confidence. You know, I giggled when you said you throw your confidence baits and they don't work. Then what do? You throw your hands up in the air and you shut her down for the day. As a fishing guide, you're not going to stay in the business very long. So You know, so what you do is you try different things. You look at, you know, different baits. I think the single one negative thing about forward facing sonar and guiding is if you're looking at 7, 8, 10 different fish and you're throwing leeches at them and you're throwing crawlers at them, you're throwing minnows and they're just not reacting. What do you do then? You know, yeah, I think, you know, when I'm in a walleye tournament and we're targeting bigger walleyes, which is the key to walleye tournaments, you're looking for those bigger marks. And if you see a group of 7, 8, 10 fish in a pod, maybe they're not the ones that are biting. That's when you reach out a little bit, maybe move port starboard 30, 40 feet and look for that single fish. And that single fish might be that loner that's going to feed or going to eat. And so I guess that's kind of, I heard that in one of the podcasts a while, is go look for that single fish, that bigger fish that's out there. And that's going to help you, you know, put that fish on your line. So, but I think it's who can monitor and adjust and adapt to different surroundings is who's going to persevere and catch more fish. So, but it's really neat to see how the people fish. I don't know if you've been following any of the bass tournament, Father Gill, you know, the big win a couple of weeks ago. But how cool was that to have the camera on the fisherman and then on the screen or even both at sometimes and see how those bass were reacting to the bait? And that footage was absolutely incredible. I don't think people understand how much education and how much practice it takes to get your bait in front of there, but to also to see how they're reacting. And, you know, he's not going after a school of 10, 12 bass. He's going after the single lone soul that's out there. Right. And so, but just some awesome coverage and great footage there that I think is putting fishing back on the educational and the entertainment map. So,
yeah.
I don't know if I answered your question or not, but I think it's more about adjusting and adapting to what the lake is offering, you know? So
for a closer here, one thing I do want to ask is maybe just, you know, your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 recommendations for the opener for people to kind of be prepared for that. But anything else that we've been talking about, any other thoughts, you know, are fair game too. But if we were going to close this out in the next 5, 6 minutes, what's on your mind?
Sure. You know, and I think, you know, when you're looking to hire a guide, when you're looking to catch fish, when you're looking to make your day on the water better, what is it going to take? And is it going to take forward-facing sonar? Is it going to take a new fishing rod? You know, I mean, and so I think it's what is your goal? And if you want, if you have questions, give me a call. You know, you could check me out at malaxlakeguiding.com. But we have 8 guides in the Midwest, basically, that fish Big Stone, the Mississippi River, Winnie, Leech, Gull, all the lakes in between. And if you have a destination vacation, give us a call and, you know, we'll put you on fish wherever you're at, because odds are all of us, I have fished one of the lakes that you're going to be at. And, you know, the technology and the skills that we have and the teamwork, we're definitely going to put fish in the boat for you. So, but you talked a little bit about, you know, what do you bring for opening fishing? You know, so it's May 10th, it's 6 a.m. You're loading up the boat or at midnight if you're going to go fish the night bite on Mille Lacs, which I'll be out there at 12:01.
Right on.
Don't forget to start that motor before you get to the boat ramp. You know, granted, you know, all of our motors nowadays are in pretty good shape and you don't generally have to worry about it, but it doesn't take much to put the earmuffs on, put a little water in it and give it a start, make sure we're running. That'll help the battery system and so on. So, but make sure your boat is running and in good shape with that. Life jackets, don't forget those. The water's not going to be that warm for opener. The ice will be cold on opener on rainy. Make sure you have a life jacket. Remember, a life jacket for every person. And if it's an inflatable, you're welcome, game wardens. It has to be worn. So, but that's an important. Check those fire extinguishers. Make sure they're green. That's a big one. You know, make sure those lights work. Sometimes the rain and corrosion throughout the summer, they don't always work. So plug those in, make sure they're going. Have a good headlight if you're night fishing. jumper cables, Taylor. The one thing that I always put in my boat are jumper cables. Generally, your trolling motor batteries are charged and are in good shape. Sometimes the live scope might drain your starter battery or, you know, starter batteries. If you have a set of jumper cables that could reach from your trolling motor batteries to your starter, that's important there. So they have those jumper packs you can get as well. Boy, are those awesome. They'll run graphs for a while or start your batter or motor. They work great as well. So dress warm, be safe, and most of all, bring a kid fishing. That's important. So
I appreciate, and it didn't really come up, but I appreciate, like last time we talked, just kind of learning about your career, that, you know, you and the guides that you that work for you, that you work with, you guys do, you tournament fish. I mean, you guys are, you guys stay on the cutting edge with this stuff. I mean, you compete with this stuff. And I think that, you know, that's another way that I feel like, you know, you or anybody that would, that tries to do that, it's difficult. You know, tournament fishing and guiding are two totally different things. And so to be able to kind of play both sides of that coin, keeps you well-rounded. And so I appreciate your perspective on these things, because I know that you have a lot of experience and a diverse experience. So I appreciate that, man. Well, we definitely will have to do this again, Bruce. So we'll stay in touch, man. But I appreciate everything.
Sounds good, Taylor. Thanks for the chat today.